This is Only a Game. I'm Karen Given. I want to start today's show at the movies, because I've been thinking a lot lately about the messages Hollywood sends about sports and race.
One of the first things that comes to mind is Rocky One, which is kind of a weird starting place.
That's former Only a Game producer Nico Emack.
You know, Apollo Creed comes out, and it's this huge spectacle.
Is that the world heavyweight champion, Apollo Creed?
He's in a boat, right?
And it kind of contrasts with Rocky's kind of humble, I'm just a guy from the neighborhood, I'm just going to come out, you know, in my sweats and do my thing.
He looks like a big float.
Another example that comes to mind is Jerry Maguire.
Say it with me one time, Jerry.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it with you with me, then, brother.
You know, it's great that they're so confident in their abilities, but it does kind of harken back to a time of shucking and jiving, and it's really disappointing to see time and time and time again.
Sports are often seen as a place where all that matters is hard work and talent, a place that's somehow immune to systemic racism, a place where African Americans can get ahead. Or at least, that's how sports are portrayed in pop culture. Consider movies that focus on Black athletes.
You know, they come from extreme poverty.
What?
Never had one before.
What, a room to yourself?
A bed.
In a blind side, you know, it's a family, a white family that basically adopts a Black kid who, you know, proves his worth because he's great at football.
This is Eric Deggans. He's a TV critic for NPR.
The film is mostly from the perspective of the white family that is taking him in. And it turned away from some of the deeper questions that it could have investigated about what, you know, what happens when society is set up in such a way that the best option for a young Black man is to leave everybody he knows and go live with a white family. It's like, and the situations that he lives in are presented as a result of choices that individual people make. And the whole systemic part of it, you know, doesn't really exist for the film.
You're only getting a certain perspective from these kind of movies and these tropes that you start to believe them in the real life, which can be really, really, really problematic.
Nico and Eric aren't the only ones who see big issues with The Blind Side, which, by the way, is the highest grossing sports movie of all time.
Definitely the white hero coming in.
That's Only a Game contributor and The Game Last Night host Olivia Christian.
Teaching lessons about life in general and don't give up, trying to explain challenges to African Americans as if they had no idea life would be that difficult until this person showed up.
You know, like a coach that shows up into the hood and, you know, these guys have no hope.
That's The Athletic's Michael Lee.
He starts to discover that maybe he's more bigoted than he thought. And these kids are helping him understand that he's got to be cool. And they teach him how to dance and maybe perform a rap song. And all's great. That story plays out, I think, at least 75 million times in the movies. What was the movie with Keanu Reeves? It was a baseball movie.
It's Keanu Reeves. He's a gambler.
It's called Hardball.
Hardball, yeah. Yeah, that's the movie that always pops into my head.
Keanu Reeves goes to Chicago in the housing developments, gets this ragtag team together.
New rule. No one can say anything bad to anyone else on the field.
They win the championship. Just a guy who's a gambler. It's not even like he's an ex-baseball player. He's just a white guy who comes and saves the day.
You're trying to create a message of equality.
This is Jerry Brewer from The Washington Post.
But the larger message can be misconstrued as it takes a white person to give credibility to a Black person so that we can thrive. And that's a very dangerous message to send.
There are a lot of myths about what sports can do. But the biggest of them all is the myth that sports can somehow solve racism. You see it time and again in movies, in 42, Invictus, and perhaps most famously, 2000's Remember the Titans.
Listen up, I don't care if you're Black, green, blue, white, or orange. I want all of my defensive players on this side, all players going out for offense over here, right now.
Remember the Titans, like anytime it's on, it's off and on a Saturday afternoon when I'm trying to complete my honey-do list, and I sit down and I watch it. It's a great movie, but there is something weird about, okay, we're going to solve our locker room tension by having everybody sing in the locker room.
Ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley over. Ain't no river wide enough.
Look, first of all, a lot of these movies are very good and entertaining, which is why they also are so sly and slick about this.
Dr. Amira Rose Davis teaches history and African American studies at Penn State, and she co-hosts the podcast Burn It All Down.
They're very, very clear to ground it in the past. Like, this is the past, and it's a bunch of microaggressions, and there's one, like, big, mean, racist moment. And then there's a lot of white people in the movie, teammates or otherwise, who are like, oh, I see it now.
So I watched Remember the Titans for the first time last weekend. It's set in 1971 and based on the true story of the forced integration of a high school in Virginia. There's a football coach, played by Denzel Washington, and when he moves to town, someone throws a brick through his window. But when the team starts winning, all of the coach's neighbors come out of their houses to cheer.
Hello, John Brown.
Would his white neighbors have accepted him if they were losing? People are not coming together because they've suddenly had an eye-opening experience about racism. People are coming together because they are winning. But instead of amplifying that point, instead of the end saying, oh yeah, see what can happen when you win, it becomes, this was transformative.
People say that it can't work, black and white. Well, here we make it work every day. We have our disagreements, of course. But before we reach for hate, always, always we remember the Titans.
Winning the championship, they actually didn't win. Coming in second place in the state does not solve the structural racism of integration in Virginia. And so we get lulled into a sense of reaching a mountaintop of a mountain we're still climbing.
Former Only a Game producer Nico Emack is also familiar with Remember the Titans.
Oh, of course, with Denzel. One of my favorites. The actor, not the movie. I saw it as a kid. It's a great story about, you know, learning about each other, you know, through sports. But then you get a bit older and you realize that, oh, okay, that's a little bit more Disney. It's only scratching the surface. Everyone kind of gets to pat themselves on the back and say, oh, I solved racism. You know, it reminds me a lot of kind of the social media activism that we're seeing right now, where people post a black square or companies post a black square. But at the end of the day, they go home and they say, oh, job's done. I did my part. When, you know, it's great, it's good. But again, it's just doing the bare minimum. It's not pushing yourself to an uncomfortable place to really explore some of those themes and topics.
So that's what we're going to do on today's show. We're going to ask ourselves the uncomfortable questions. We're going to show that sports isn't this mythical Disney-fied world where everyone is equal and racism is a thing only found in history books. In fact, we're going to detail some of the ways in which sports in the U.S. actually perpetuate systemic inequality. And we're going to talk to some people who are trying to imagine a better system.